This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I was shouting.
I
was shouting at the Borderlands 3 reveal event.
You just get a little weaker and weaker as time goes on.
I'm losing my power. Joining me on the show today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Brian Malkowitz.
Hello.
And everybody else is gone.
I'm here for you.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about Borderlands 3, how weapon feel is different than Destiny, and what Destiny does really well, and what Borderlands is doing really well with their game, and some of the differences there. We're going to talk about E3, what we think Destiny and Bungie might announce there, as it's going to be an odd year with everything that's changed with their parent company. We're also going to talk about
what parent company?
Some ideas about where Destiny 2 could go and our hopes for Season of the Opulence. So, the Borderlands 3 reveal event, Brian and I were there.
Yeah.
CJ, you weren't.
I was not.
Do you play Borderlands?
It's funny, I don't. There's a lot of people who've told me that they...
That is funny. Really,
funny. No, it was one of those things. I have played Borderlands before, but I never got into it because I was never really a big PvE guy. So I understood the draw of the game if you're into that. But no, I've never really kind of invested a lot of time into it like others have.
Great. So, Brian.
All right. You guys, Carrie, you take it away.
Borderlands 3, yep. I think one of the concerns with that game is that there's only X amount of gun manufacturers.
Sure.
So, will you ever get tired of finding a new gun? And for me,
in
the
Borderlands
answer
3?
Is no.
In Borderlands 3?
Yeah, in Borderlands 3. Because Destiny, they have sort of manufacturers of their weapons.
Yeah.
But I would say they have more classes of weaponry.
In Borderlands or Destiny?
Destiny.
In Destiny.
Just like, gotcha. I think in Borderlands 2, Borderlands 3, we're going to quickly find what are the best things. Mm-hmm. And then people are going to, you know, be grinding for those. Obviously, everybody's going to be grinding for the legendaries, mm-hmm. at a certain point in Borderlands, and that's what always happens. So I think, yeah, at some point, Borderlands 2 is going to have that drop-off.
Just you like mean 3?
Borderlands 3 is going to have that drop-off, just like any other, you know, looter, shooter, or anything like that.
But. So here's the thing. I played three gameplay sessions. You played two. And every time I got a new weapon, mm-hmm. I was curious to see how it stacked up versus the one I had. Damage is higher. Mm-hmm. You have, the Torgs were my favorite guns by far. They were the ones where you shoot somebody, and then when you reload, CJ, it increases your damage 7%. And what you've done is you've hit, like, little tracker guys on the enemy. You reload. They all explode, and the character basically melts.
That's cool. I think I saw some of the gameplay. Yeah, on Brian's machine there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the thing is, they have this set amount. They have tiers within each of the manufacturers of the guns. And it's always really, really cool to get a legendary. And what's the top tier again, Brian? The
Pearlescent. We don't know if those are coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I don't want to get too big details with it.
So Borderlands legendary is top tier.
Yeah.
And then Pearlescent is like exotic.
Topper tier.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
So in Destiny, legendary is the second to top, then exotic.
Yeah, it's like
then,
Fortnite. Reverse a little bit too.
So just keeping on Borderlands 3, I want to say just how surprised I was about how each weapon I found was unique. Mm-hmm. Even the gray ones felt special. They did a good job with the loot game. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really strong, but I wonder if, like you said, it will taper off at some point near end game.
They've already said that the end game for Borderlands 3 is going to be bigger than it was in 2. So, I mean, we don't know what that is yet, mm-hmm. outside of like raid bosses in previous Borderlands games, but
comparing this loot game, CJ, this is where you come in.
Yeah.
To Destiny.
I was actually going to ask a question about that. Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, just
how do you think it stacks up?
Well, so the PvP equation. I mean, for me, that's what I've always said. Like right now, Destiny, I feel, is missing a little bit of that PvP. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some grind for it, but there's no activity like Trials was that you'd want to take and bring your weapons into. Now, Gambit's done, I think, a pretty decent job, but it's, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, who don't like Gambit. So, you know, it's, yeah, I'm curious to find out from you guys. There is no PvP in Borderlands still, right?
Not that we know of at this time.
Nothing that they've said. I mean, yeah.
There were rumors of a battle royale that some people seem excited about.
Yeah, I think they've already announced. Yeah. They've already killed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to say hype train, but that.
Well, I don't know for sure. I don't want to say anything definitively because I'm not up to date on that. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, Borderlands is always, the multiplayer of Borderlands has always just been like a dual aspect where you slap somebody and they have to slap you back.
Yeah, and then
to accept the challenge and then you fight.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's the closest you get to PvP.
Gotcha. And it's sort of like in the environment, in the world.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like a mode you select or something like that.
But. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, and that sounds pretty cool. I'm always intrigued. I thought what was interesting is once Apex Legends came out, it was interesting how many things that I actually really liked about what they did in their game design that I wished and I did not like about other games. Like I did not like Fortnite's, you know, once you spawn and die, you're just out of the game. The respawn factor into Apex Legends, thought that was awesome. Fortnite implemented that right away. Is there anything from Borderlands that you think that Bungie might go, oh, that's cool, and maybe they might implement after seeing some of these things?
Second Wind. I really like Second Wind.
Second cool.
Wind.
Yeah.
You kind of like go into a down state and the AI teammates can bring you back to life.
Okay.
You can kill something and then that'll bring you back to life.
That's not something that's like specific to Borderlands 3. Mm-hmm. That's always been part of the series.
But separately, one of the best things about Borderlands 3 that Destiny 2 did not do, but Division sort of did, is how level scaling is going to work. Mm-hmm. You're going to have instance loot. So if I'm level 25 and you're level 5, I hop into your game to help you, mm-hmm. I'm getting level 25 guns at stats.
The enemies
that
also be your level,
yeah,
too.
The enemies are also my level, meaning I'm getting XP gains for helping you.
Interesting.
So you will you know, gain your levels. You can also turn that off. So if I want to power level you, maybe it'll work against like a bunch of level 25s and just get you up to my level quicker. You can still do that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and you can still hunt for loot.
Yeah, playing Borderlands 3 reminded me of how much I want Destiny to go more RPG and give us back more customization on those skill trees that we got from Borderlands or from Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Even though those weren't like super in depth, it was better, you know, to have that customization that we had.
Yeah. So it's weird. I've had this conversation with a number of people. Did you guys like actually opening up the nodes and the skill tree within the context of? I think the part that I didn't like about it specifically is you had to farm the raids over and over and over again in order to get the materials to do that. It wasn't just progressions.
You mean for the weapons?
For the weapons, yeah. Would you rather that come back, or do you like the way that right now you get
right
the
now
weapon and it opens up and you just have them all available?
Yeah, I
don't like that system in particular. Other games have done it better.
Yeah, I don't mind games that give you guns and you basically level up that gun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not something what we have now with the enhancement core system where
right.
if you want to level it up to your current level, you got to spend this currency. But if a game rewards me by using that gun and the gun just gets better over time.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't talked about that very often on the show. I still see that almost daily when I look at Reddit and when I look at feedback that the enhancement core system is the one thing that people really just want to go away, or there needs to be some kind of other avenue.
Yeah.
They have put a few, you know, ways to get them in the game, but it still feels a little bit kind of stingy with, because it takes a lot of them to actually level up your gear, you know, that becomes like a
bottom. That's why it's upsetting when like a new season starts and here you got 15 more levels you need to chase, one kind of for almost no reason.
Yeah.
But then also you can't use any of the gear that you love.
Yeah.
Because you don't have Master Core course too.
Yeah, to infuse.
I'll say this though about the loot question in Borderlands versus Destiny. Mm-hmm. Destiny does it differently, but that doesn't necessarily means that it's bad or
bad. Right.
No,
right.
No.
I like the system of both individually, and I don't know that I want to see Destiny adopt a more Borderlands 3 style. I think it could be a little bit more giving with exotics, for example.
Yeah.
Like they kind of throttled way back on that. There's just fewer exotics in the pool, and because you know they're just going to nerf something, it's kind of detracts from the excitement.
Yeah.
Borderlands is just kind of like, you know what? Just break everything. Here you go. And that's the advantage that you have when you're just one sandbox, basically.
Yeah. I jumped onto the Revelry the last little bit. I will say I like the fact that this is like, hey, this is a broken game with like enhanced grenades and abilities and this and that for a short amount of time.
That. Yeah. I don't know why people hate it.
Yeah. I liked it. And I like the fact that they announced the duration. Now, if that was made permanent, like the way Fortnite implements changes and you don't know how long it's going to happen for, then fine, I can understand why people are upset at that. But you know the Revelry is only going to be 3 weeks of broken grenades and toxic invisibility hunters. Oh, man, that's so fun to do. But I don't mind it within that context. So I wish there was some kind of – and maybe these are the kind of things that I wish they would allow us to do in private matches, have some of those kind of little – you know, fun moments to be able to do if people like don't want it to be full time in the game once it's like Revelry is. But
are you talking about private matches where we can turn stuff on like modifiers like the Revelry? Because that would be really cool.
Yeah, it would be
a little bit more like
more options. Exactly. Private matches to do stuff like that.
Because Halo did have all like Halo 3
removing
especially.
Player shields.
Yeah.
You know, SWAT.
SWAT and Destiny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like those.
I mean, those don't
ideas.
Have to be. Those don't have to be. You know, modes. You know, that are in normal PvP button private matches, things like that would be nice to have more options. I'd probably use it more.
Dude, what if you only had a six shooter, no shields, one shot kills, and everybody has that, what was it, the old fashioned, the hand cannon?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Wild West old thing.
Individual. Yeah, I mean, and I think that's where, I hope that there is something happening in the background with Trials where I don't know if the trial ship has sailed. Like I know. I got to do it at least once a show. But I do feel like if they do bring it back, it probably will look dramatically different. I think, like we were talking about, is the 2014 trials, was it 2014 or 15? I think it was 15 when it actually launched, House of Wolves. Would that work in 2019? And I think it would, but I don't know if it would be as impactful now.
Well, we can never go back and play it again. So,
but if they innovate and do something cool and it's for the PvP crowd, there's a lot of PvP people who are just not playing Destiny as much as they used to because there's
a new season comes
activity.
And it's like, here's this new thing to chase.
Yeah.
But do it in that PvP you've been doing it in for 2 years.
Yeah, in a couple game modes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no Rift, there's no Trials, no Elimination, there's no, there's a lot of game modes that are missing. Even the bigger team battles or the bigger maps.
Love that. That'd be one thing.
Super sweaty.
A lot as if they added that game mode, big team battles, putting vehicles back in the PvP. I know a lot of people hated that.
Yeah.
But like combined arms was a good
thing. How would you feel if Fortnite shut off their battle royale mode for a year?
Well, there's always PvE game.
Would you think that's a smart move?
Stop that, Destiny.
What about you, Brian?
Fortnite 2 comes out.
Yeah.
We're shutting down. We think we can do better with Battle Royale, so we're shutting it down.
We really want to innovate. We're just going to shut it off for a year. And also, Fortnite 2 is here, but you can't play it in the original either. Would that be a smart business decision? What do you think? Let us know in the comments below, everybody, if you think it's a good idea to take away a temple feature that everybody loves. One thing that is coming is opulence, seasonal opulence.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering, we haven't really talked about it too much. It looks like we're going to be going back to the raids or at least getting the raid armor again.
I'm sure it's just going to be repurposed armor. Like it's not going to be something you go in the Leviathan raid and get, but it's just they're going to not redesign, but take that design, add a shader to it and call it new.
I hope not. This is supposed to be a substantial expansion. This is sort of the swan song for their partners at Vicarious Vision and High Moon.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to bring?
PlayStation exclusives.
Well, they have to finish that contract, right?
If Vicarious Vision is making it and that contract is going to be finished out, I think there's going to be some PlayStation exclusives.
You think so?
Here's what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be the old raids somehow modified.
You mean the raid layers?
Yeah, raids. The raid
The Leviathan raid and then the layers that we did.
Yeah, okay. I like the Leviathan raid. And
I don't mind any of those raids.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think those are going to be.
I didn't like Spire.
So I think those are going to be redone, remixed in some fashion. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you'll have dogs during Gauntlet. I don't know.
Chasing you.
Yeah, well, we already know that there's also a new raid coming along with this, plus a new six-player match-made activity.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe it'll be no idea. Maybe it's just like, hey, here's some random encounters from the raid, but do them with random people.
Yeah.
I'm sure this will be exciting when it comes out, but right now I have – My hype meter would be at zero right now for Season of the Opulence.
Yeah.
It's very, very low. This is coming out in a month.
Yep.
We're 30 days away, and I have no idea what to expect from this content.
Yeah, I don't know.
Power level increase, that'll happen, right?
Yeah, new weapons probably. Mm-hmm. A few new weapons, a couple new abilities. So it's weird. With Revelry, one of the things I did like, at least within the forest, I like that you could go in and it was match made, or you could choose to do it separately. Mm-hmm. If they lean into a bunch of these type things with like activities, I think probably Escalation Protocol was one of my favorite environments to grind and play those encounters. That was in the open world.
But then ruined when someone comes in and you're like, get out of here!
Exactly. So that was in the open world and you had to hack to kind of get that many people in. But I think, wasn't it nine people that you could get
in? You could get in nine people by, it's not really hacking, it's just like going in and out of the instance and waiting until you see somebody in your Discord.
Well, they have that now. The new event is Escalation Protocol basically with matchmaking.
Which one? Event?
The, from Black Armory. The Forges.
But they're only six. Or they're only
no,
three.
Yeah.
They're only three.
Well, I mean, that's, they designed it specifically so you can matchmake with three.
Yes,
but then they screwed up by not letting you launch from orbit.
Right.
Yeah.
So then that's what I mean, right? Yeah. There's a couple of those little things.
It's like one step forward, but here's five mistakes. Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like if we look at all the different things that, you know, with the forges, you had to go to some place in the map and then launch them. But then you actually had to make sure you're matchmaking so you could take forever to get into them. And then Escalation Protocol was cool, but then you couldn't get nine people into it. You had to, like, organically find a cheat way.
That's not organically.
No, it's
not. I don't
not,
think that's the right word.
Sorry, whatever word you want to describe.
Cheese.
So, like, cheese your way into it.
Cheese whiz your way.
But I think that if the whole purpose of that activity was because it was in a world where you could just walk in with other people, it means probably that they have the ability to maybe do a closed environment, nine player activity. And if that was a possibility down the road, like maybe that's going to happen in September or something like that, I think that would be really cool. Cause Escalation Protocol was probably one of my favorite things to do in the last like 6 months of Destiny.
It can be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you get the right crew together.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you want to see from Season of Opulence? You want to see this walled off nine-person activity? Because you said this update or September.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that would be something that if they were to be able to do that,
I mean, they have that
in September.
They do have that option to do because, I mean, on the roadmap, it does say that new six-player matchmade activity.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's something that we can launch from orbit.
Yeah.
But also launch on ourselves.
But that's only six players. It's like I feel like they had the ability to do nine if that'd be cool. I mean, that's something that they've never done before. You know, and the raids, I think, you know, are super strategic and all that stuff. So nine would be probably too chaotic, but boss melting and DPS and all those.
You just have to balance the mode around.
Exactly. How many people.
I think Opulence, so for me, I do think it's going to be a raid remix. I think we're going to be going back to the Leviathan and taking out, the big boss man that we fought the robot.
Kallus.
I think it's also going to be like the same design as the Black Armory and Gambit, where they're going to create this gameplay loop between raiding and doing some other that six player activity, probably where you're doing that loop to get gear, and then you'll do that to be more effective, then to go back to this to get more gear to be even more effective, and they're going to keep doing that loop just like they're doing.
Have you run since around launch? Have you run the raid with Black Armory?
Which raid?
The new one that came with Black Armory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Scourge of the Past.
Do you run it a lot?
I don't run it a lot, no. I mean, I've run it enough, but I mean, I have most of the stuff I need from that raid, so I don't really do it anymore.
What about you, Siege? Did you run it a lot?
Not much, no, because for me, like, I'm not chasing specific weapons. Like, if there are no coveted weapons in the raids...
Yeah, like,
For me personally, like, that was the reason why Vex Mythoclast and a lot of those other weapons that you got from... Yeah, and Fatebringer from competing the raids were really good. That incentivized me to do them. I don't mind the power chase, but to me, if I can get, you know, powerful engrams playing, you know, Crucible or whatever else, I'm going to do that, and I can do that over time. So,
I think with all the avenues of progression in Destiny, they've actually detracted from their best feature, which is their incredible raids.
And yeah, that's, I mean, they do need that. I mean, like, Scourge of the Past had some good weapons, like, most notably, like, threat level.
Yeah.
It could get the Ikelo shotgun roll, and that's the one I got. So
and then they nerfed it.
And then they nerfed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the Anarchy, which is the exotic from Scourge, was kind of like,
I mean, it's really weird though. Cause looking back to Destiny 1, like that also was a complaint. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's not much for us to do. And now in Destiny 2, there's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
I will,
like
So your options are, okay, do I want to do a Crucible match or do I want to run an hour and a half long raid to progress?
Right.
And it's like, I've already done the raid. Do I want to go through the hassle of getting those people together who are competent and can go through it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it kind of detracts from this really special, this previously special thing.
Yeah. I think
but
a lot
it
of
all,
that.
It's difficult because the business needs of bringing in the new players and everything.
And that's the thing. If you think of that and then you think of just like progression and trying to, you know, have it so that the people who play 50 hours in a week versus the people that play barely 4 or 5, there's a little bit of balance there. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but definitely it's perceived very differently in Destiny 2 because there is a lot to do. The incentivization of doing it, I would say, it's the tricky part for them to master.
Call me crazy, but I think the only way to get max light should be through the raid. Or the
you're gonna
pinnacle
get called crazy
activity.
For sure.
Yeah,
that's fine. Call me crazy, but Destiny 1, there were more people. More people talked about the raids. There was more conversations about the gear that you got for the raids.
It's also just,
oh wow, you're that light level. That's so cool. You must have done the raid a lot. There was a level of knowledge and respect for people who had done that, and now that's just gone. It's like, oh, you got your disaster piece Titan running the raid.
Yeah, but the reason why I think is obviously because the amount of people that have completed those. It wall off a lot of people. Because they didn't have a group, and so trying to be more inclusive, I do wish that maybe they, like I said before in previous episodes, you'd leave pinnacle activities to be that maybe final bit of a leveling power. So you had a soft cap of, let's say, 680, but then in order to do progression and leveling up past that, you had to either do pinnacle activities like the raid, like Iron Banner, like, well, trials, so that you could get certain items and weapons that boosted your level. So it wasn't just playing quick play Crucible 50 million times, getting powerful engrams every week until you level up, right? And that's where I think it does take away a little bit from the Reckoning, and it takes away from Gambit, and it takes
just
away
balancing
from
out the shot.
Okay. It takes away from Gambit because, yeah, those things don't seem special. Like, in a way, I almost wish Gambit Prime would have been a weekend activity. I think that if they had have just, like, had it active on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then it went away on reset, you'd have people maybe grinding Gambit Prime specifically on the weekend, and it turning into a little bit more of, like, you know, social activity the way Destiny was when the trials.
Yeah, I think, thinking about it a little more, I think the problem is they want everybody to be special, but when everybody's special and everybody can easily
nobody
stands out.
Syndrome.
Nobody stands out.
It's the Incredibles theory.
In a video game that's all about power and powering up, there is no way to show off, really.
It's literally the theme for Incredibles.
PvP.
Yeah, it's like when everybody's super, nobody will be.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of sucks because I don't have that feeling with Destiny anymore where I'm like, yeah, max light. Who cares?
Yeah.
Everybody will be max light in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I think they should have the light level. Let's say 750 is the cap, right?
Which is the new one.
Everybody super can lightly. Get to 740. Yeah. Fine. But those extra 10 lights, they need to be a grind, and they only need to be achievable through pinnacle activities.
Yes.
So not only do you look cool when you achieve that light level, but you've also conquered some of the hardest activities in the game.
Yeah.
And that's something Destiny used to have that it doesn't have right now.
I agree with that. And that's why, especially for Taken King, when they created multiple versions or like raid hard mode and stuff, I like that. Like, it was an incentive.
They had
to
hard
do.
And then challenging, right?
Yeah. Well, they changed up different elements, and there was different ways to beat the bosses, and even the weapons looked a little bit different. So you knew you got certain weapons, in hard mode versus regular.
That's one thing that Destiny needs to get back to is like building raids around weapons that you want.
Yeah.
The raid.
Yeah.
Like Last Wish came out. The only really gun you want from that is 1K
Voices. 1,000 Voices. Yeah.
Or the Still Nation of Beast.
Yeah.
Got a curated role.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a God Roll Nation of Beasts on my first run, but I never got 1,000 Voices.
No,
I still haven't got 1,000 Voices.
Really? Wow.
I have Nation of Beasts.
Dude, Fallout Plays doesn't have it either, at least at the time of this taping.
What is wrong with the drop?
I know, and I see him tweeting out going like, hey, is there strategies to like get an increased chance? Or like, which chest should I open? And it's crazy that
I popped 6 after the patch.
Yep.
Guess how many I got?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, I know,
that's
man.
Insane.
Yep.
Nobody else got it either.
But it is kind of interesting that it does become that Galahorn in a way where it's just you're starving for it. So it has a little bit of a
But Galahorn you could get from more than just
anything. Yeah, I know.
Like you
Galahorn
have to do
was like the weapon to get.
It was
1,000
the weapon,
voices,
but it could drop from
you don't.
It could drop from raid. Yeah. It could drop from PvP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you had a chance to get it almost everywhere.
But
with one voices.
Vexmith class. I mean,
but I just
compared
remember that being a problem though.
Like, what do you mean?
Like people not being able to get Vex.
Oh, I didn't get Vex for almost like 7 months.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't get Vex till near the end of like after House of Wolves came out. Yeah, so I was starved for a little Vex and Hawkmoon. Never got, and I was a PlayStation player. I never got Hawkmoon.
Yeah, but
until the very end of year one.
I can't put my finger on what they changed, but I do not get excited when I get exotics anymore, even if it's one I really want. I'm just kind of like, oh, I finally got. If I get 1,000 voices tomorrow,
yeah,
I'm just gonna be like, oh, okay,
finally got it.
Yeah. I don't need it. What do I need it for? Nothing. I'm max light.
Yeah,
who cares?
I don't know. And you know, honestly, like, I don't think that this is anything like it is Bungie's fault. I think that some of it was just the IP.
It's design decisions that have sort of led to apathy within the loot system.
Maybe, but I think it's just the fact that Destiny 1 was new and shiny and. We didn't know what to expect. And so now that there's an expectation for everything, like I think it's just sequels are hard
sequel
to do
that. It's just like, I mean, we're so aware of everything that's going on like behind the curtains in Destiny.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like, so things like that, like the RNG and the loot grinds, like we see it now, like as in when Destiny 1, we were naive.
Yeah. So that's the reason why I would say that No Legend is Safe was my favorite Vidoc, because it was that moment of revealing, oh man, we have new supers coming out, because there was always that extra node at the top and you had no idea what it was.
Oh yeah, it was never
for. Yeah, and then all of a sudden they were revealed, and even the way you acquired those supers, it was really cool.
It was special.
It was super special. So yeah, now we just kind of like, we know what's going to happen most of the time. We kind of have an idea of, oh, there's going to be like, you know, more weapons and more this and more that. So Gambit was probably the first thing they did where it was like, oh, this is really cool because this is different. And I don't know if, they've, you know, even the raids feel a little bit formulaic, even though they're fun and they're new, right?
We all just agree that what happened with the Whisper of the Worm was probably the most unique thing that's happened.
Absolutely.
Since it launched.
Yeah. I'm just destined just having like PTSD waiting for Cabal Drill.
Who knows what I'm thinking right now.
What are you
Cabal, Cabal Drill.
Yeah.
For a whole week.
But.
Weekend.
So that was probably like.
Aside from that,
they do something great, and then they do something really dumb.
Aside from that faux pas,
The Xur bounties right now, you can't finish the Xur storyline because for 2 weeks they turned on. Why did they ever turn? Oh, sorry. I'm so frustrated about that one.
But
I get frustrated because Bungie makes a lot of really, really great decisions that push the brand forward, but they're usually tied to something that just seems.
Breaks it in a way.
Dumb.
Yeah.
It seems dumb externally because, like, I called out with the Xur bounties. I'm like, why are you making it planet specific? And then like we had that one that was really bad. I'm like, and I joked.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, they've had this bump for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I ran into that too.
And they've known about it for a month.
Yeah. If you have the bounty in your inventory, you just can't do the next one.
It's so like the Xur is out today, right? So I guess everybody can't progress, right? You can't get whatever was supposed to come this week, because last week is still bugged.
Yeah.
So if I pick it up, they're going to patches on Tuesday, right? Can I finish it on Tuesday?
You can finish it. Oh, well, maybe.
No, probably not. It's going to reset.
I don't know.
No, the bounty doesn't go away once you pick it up.
The bounty doesn't go away.
No, but you can't do it. Like, that was my problem. I picked the bounty up.
I think they changed that. You can do it through Thursday.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
they fixed that part.
Okay.
But I don't know if you can go to Xur on Tuesday and pick up the new one.
No. So I can get correct
because you can only have one in your inventory. Yeah,
yeah.
We'll find out.
Today's Friday. Yeah. We're supposed to have a new one today.
Yeah,
but nobody.
But the last
progress.
Week, nobody can finish it. So on Tuesday, can we pick up the one we were supposed to be able to get today?
No, Xur goes away on Monday.
No, it doesn't. He goes away at reset.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday reset morning. Will happen, which is
that's
patch,
what I mean.
Which means Xur will go away.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You can finish the one you have in your inventory,
and then there will be no invitation.
And then on Friday, you should have the new one on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, because the patch is on
But the Whisper, to just go back to Brian.
Whisper was great.
Whisper,
because it was a surprise. It was secret. It was cool. And
yes.
It was an awesome gun.
In Destiny 1
Everybody
and Destiny 2. It's probably still, you know, one of the most coveted weapons besides Gjallarhorn, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they introduced it in the way they introduced Black Spindle. It was a surprise.
Yes.
Somebody just randomly found Whisper. Like Black Spindle was like, hey, this door opened up in this mission, heroic mission for some reason.
That's right.
And we went into it, and then we got Black Spindle.
Yeah,
which
the timer.
Yeah, the timer and everything. Yeah, that was a fun day.
So it was the same thing in that situation where it's like, and they haven't done it again since.
I don't think so. Yeah, I hope they do more of that.
So final topic. What do you guys think Destiny-wise is going to be announced at E3? Do you think Bungie is going to have a presence? Do you think they're going to do anything? And what do you think they would do that would get people amped up?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see. There's so much going on right now with, like, I mean, who's not going to be there? PlayStation is not going to be there, right? They're not having a show.
EA doesn't have a booth.
EA doesn't have a booth.
No, they're not with Activision.
They're doing EA Play.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. And even with Opulence, like, unless there's some kind of major announcement or something like that that's after Opulence, which, I mean, I'm hoping there is. I just really want some kind of PvP-related activity to come back like Trials. I've relinquished the fine. I know I said the T word again.
Does it rhyme with files?
Fine. I don't know what it rhymes with, but I just want something to bring the PvP community back to Destiny, even if it's not full-time on a weekend basis. Like, I just miss, you know, watching streamers playing Destiny and being really competitive and playing Destiny from a PvP standpoint on my own. Like, it's that hook. Like, I'm still playing a lot of Apex. There's this new game called Splitgate, I believe.
Yeah.
The Portal,
Halo, like, thing. Halo-style game. Yeah. Like, I just really like competitive modes that, you know, bring out that kind of competition in PvP gameplay. And it seems so crazy that there's just nothing. Like, comp does not fill that void. So I hope they announce something in that regard. Or it could be a new game mode. It could be any kind of new PvP game mode. But we've had a lot of good PvE stuff. It's time for PvP to make its return.
I think the likely outcome of E3 with Destiny is the thing that would get everybody amped would be a larger expansion like Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
But the likely
for outcome, the fall.
For the fall.
Yeah, for September.
The likely outcome is the highly, probably very likely, highly rumored, very likely
annual pass
for
right
starting in fall.
But yeah, but I still think that they probably, like we've said before, they will announce or release something that's a little bit bless you, a little bit bigger, like Forsaken, to lead it off, and then they'll still roll into an annual pass style thing.
Yeah.
You know, for the rest of the year, right?
That would be great. I don't trust their annual pass. I have been fairly underwhelmed with this annual pass. To date, I feel like I haven't had anything to do for like a month.
Yeah.
In the world of Destiny, and yeah, I tore through the Gambit related items.
Yeah.
I had my fun with that, and I'm kind of like, all right, I'm max light. Like,
yeah, so
what else is there to chase?
That's why I think I'm not a fan.
Zero bounties are broken.
That's why I don't think I'm a fan of the annual pass concept, because, like, you know, they force you into it if you want to play. Like, Black Armory was, I liked Black Armory. It was, it was cool. It was fun. You know, so they kind of, you have to buy the annual pass to get it, but I didn't really care for Gambit Prime or the season of Drifter. So if that was a singular add-on, I probably wouldn't have bought it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just because I knew I wouldn't have played it at all. So why would I waste my money doing that? So that the annual pass kind of just locks you into that whether you want it or not.
Now, what if it was like an annual pass style thing, but rather than the cadence of them launching in like a weekly fashion, it was all just available at the very beginning and everything that was in Black
Armory. Like a Fortnite battle pass system.
So let's talk about that for a second. You know, we've often said that for the most part, we don't like, you know, microtransactions or all that stuff. If they had a battle pass that was similar to Fortnite and or Apex Legends, the way they do it, I would be much more incentivized to do that if it was available right off the bat, day one. Or part of the annual pass, yeah. And you feel like you could progress to just do
different
things.
If it was part of the annual pass, you'll probably have more people on board. But, like, selling an annual pass and then a season pass they're gonna tread some waters that fans will start getting a little weary about.
And I think that brings up the next question is free to play and a bunch of other these things.
I like the DLC model more, personally. I don't like this annual pass model.
Yeah.
It's just really not that exciting.
Care for Curse of Osiris, I still like the idea of Curse, Warmind, Forsaken, then starting in December again.
Well, I'm thinking even Dark Below House.
But yeah,
there was a build up towards the boss fight. This is just
yeah.
All right, go do the Black Armory forges, which are all fairly similar on different planets, and then here's a raid that you don't really have any context for. Just go do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they took away my favorite aspect, which was the story beats,
right,
that push you forward. Even though, yeah, Osiris is probably the worst out of all the expansions.
So think about that, though, because you also reviewed them. You got to remember, that was seen as, like, bad. Very bad.
Which?
Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I gave it a very low score.
So are we saying that we'd rather Osiris?
No. I was saying the model of release, not the level of content, but like that model.
My problem with Osiris was the storytelling was bad.
Mm-hmm.
They messed up stuff with the loot.
Mm-hmm.
And
just loot. I can't remember now.
Two tokens and a blue.
Two tokens and a blue. They're like, they were like the most rewarding public event.
The planet is the smallest planet. You can't use a ship. There's one lost sector in it.
Right, right.
They have the infinite forest, which is one section you can go to.
Yeah.
Curse of Osiris is a poor piece of DLC.
The funny thing is,
the story actually isn't the worst story that's ever been told in Destiny.
Yeah,
it's actually okay. It's all the other problems surrounding it.
Yeah. I mean, looking back at it, like finding Osiris and, you know, even...
they literally wall him into this silo.
Yeah.
And it's very apparent of their silo development cycle where, yes, you can tell a story, but you have to tell it within this silo. Maybe we'll revisit the narrative threads that are left open.
Yeah.
But this is going to open and close within this DLC.
Yeah.
Like Warmind did.
Yeah. I mean, what's weird is that looking back, I mean, I played a lot of Warmind. I played a fair amount of Osiris, but I liked the fact that there was a little bit of everything in there. There was some PvP maps. There was a new raid. There was a new
escalation protocol
campaign. There was escalation protocol. Yeah, exactly. So even though it was,
we added escalation protocol, no matchmaking. We didn't fix that yet, even though it's been around since Destiny 1.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I mean.
That's my biggest frustration with the Destiny franchise is we keep pointing out, hey, here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. Okay, well, we're going to get it wrong like six more times.
Or they iterate it so much that you're just not sure what is going to happen on the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So
that's my challenge just with the franchise in general.
Absolutely.
And I still play Destiny. I still love Destiny.
The feeling of Destiny still cannot be rivaled by, like I said, Apex Legends is the first game that it actually pulls me in on a weekly basis because I just like the feeling of the gameplay.
I desperately want to see them just come knock it out of the park without these silly mistakes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's okay if it's once in a while. It's just happened so frequently. I think people, myself included, are just
whatever this
like,
new six-player really? Match made activity is, let me launch it from orbit.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Let me launch it from orbit.
Maybe choose matchmaking, maybe not, depending on if I have the people.
Optional matchmaking.
I'm also honestly surprised that, like, with how...
Reward me if it's challenging.
Yeah, yeah. Like how...
reasonable amount.
With the Festival of the Lost and with the Revelry... They brought, you were talking about it earlier, where they bring the firewalled instance, so where you can load in there by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't added those to the strikes on the directory yet.
Yeah. I mean, even like a difficulty mode. Like Destiny 1 had a difficulty mode.
Yeah.
You know, optional, challenging modes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. I just think that, there's a lot of things in Destiny 1 that we're still kind of clamoring for, which is weird. I'm not sure if that's just nostalgia or
it's a little bit of both because like
I'm not
you
saying
go back
bring,
and play Destiny 1 it's hard
yeah
I'm not even saying bring back everything from Destiny 1 but there were features that were taken away
there's
that never should have been taken
there.
Away it was it's bizarre and I don't really understand it I think that's everything we really want to talk about this week, but is there any final notes that you guys wanted to discuss?
New strikes.
Strike Grinder Brian Malkwitz wants some new strikes.
I'll take some new strikes.
Yeah, I loaded it. I loaded it last night. Last night I loaded up Destiny. I was like, all right, I just want to grind.
We haven't
like,
gotten a new one since Warmind, right?
No, I mean
Forsaken. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Since Forsaken, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's been since Forsaken. But I loaded up strikes last night, and I was like, all right, I'll just maybe do a couple for bed because heavyweight's on. It's fun. And then so I loaded up. I load in, flying a Titan, and it's a Savathun strike. I do the first part of it, and I'm just like, I hear the dialogue, and I'm just like.
Nope.
Just walk away.
I was just like, I was done. I was like, man, I've done this so many times. I don't want to do it anymore right now. And it's like, we need more in the rotation so that way it's not so.
Yeah.
What was the one where we got Rat King for Nightfall? We had
I think it was any Nightfall.
Though. No, it's the one on Mars and Cade does the narration. And
no, because
we
Rat
have
King,
to carry
Rat
the
King
ball and then
Mars.
Dunk it. No, sorry, Cabal, not Mars.
I can't remember now.
Anyway, I can't remember it. Arms dealer.
Oh, the arms dealer. Yeah. You had to do that.
That's
in
it's still one of my favorite strikes.
Like most of the strikes in Destiny right now aren't really that bad. Even the ones, I don't mind the ones that came with Curse of Osiris.
There's the one where the guy turns invisible repeatedly that I still.
Okay. Yeah. That one's still. It's still a little bit. It's better now.
Skip it.
Yeah. You still don't play it when Blackout's on, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the worst when there was a Nightfall timer. You're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Is scale not, yeah.
How do you get Rat King now since there's no Nightfall timers?
I think it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you had to beat it with at least 5 minutes left, right?
Maybe the timer's on the card or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. Let us know in the comments below. We all did it.
I haven't done it. I haven't.
Zaggy,
that was
early on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I haven't needed to get it since year one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're going to be back next week talking about the patch update and everything new that's happening with Destiny. Bungie even admitted this is a little bit of a slow news week, so we just kind of want to talk about our feelings about the game and what we're thinking for E3. We were just at the Borderlands event, so we brought the loot sort of conversation into the show. And if you have anything you want to see us discuss next week, besides the patch notes, let us know in the comments below.
Yeah. Patch notes, the show.
Yeah.
More PvP.
Yeah, right.
That's what we need.
Well, that's it for this episode, guys. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.